And welcome to The Truth About Fiction. I'm Lynn Michelle.
And I'm Derek Thompson.
And we're going to talk about the whole hard grinding business of being a writer, of writing and being published.
We're going to shatter some myths, break some hearts, and hopefully bring you something inspiring. But most of all, we will tell it how it is. Welcome back. Or if you've never listened to us before, welcome. This podcast is about fairness and unfairness, so expect some whinging, some irrelevant commentary, and some adult language. It's unscripted, but I figure if you've listened to any of these, you'd know that anyway. A couple of interesting items were in the news recently that affect writers. The first is that Lightning Source, who provide paperbacks for publishers and for self-published authors, contacted all of their users to say that while currently you can decide what wholesale discount you're offering shops, typically 35% but could be more, could be less, Lightning Source has decided for the US market that they are aligning with the sort of industry baseline there, and in future all wholesale prices for books will be at 40% discount. They also add that if anyone hasn't made the changes on their Lightning Source account by a date in October, which I can't remember at time of speaking, their books will no longer be available for the US market. The second piece of news involves Amazon. In the old days, if you were an ebook publisher, you could set your book to zero as a free promo in an effort to get reviews, ratings, and sort of brand awareness for your books. And then when the free period ended, your book would climb the charts to a certain extent and ideally gather sales in the paid listings. I've been told today, and this is just after doing one of these free promos for my novel Pathfinder, that traditional publishers complained to Amazon that this was a sort of unfair practice and adversely affected them, and that Amazon decided that what they would do is from now, well, actually I say from now, this is about a year ago apparently, because I don't get out much, when your book goes back to paid, the book will return to its previous level and not actually just sort of climb up the charts from scratch. Both of these examples are just standard business practice. A company, Lightning Source, Amazon, is operating in a way in which they're completely entitled and that makes good business sense to them but may adversely affect authors and publishers. Is it unfair? Do we in fact have a right to expect things to be fair? We already know from the Society of Authors and other surveys that most authors do not earn a full-time income from writing books. I think, I'm not positive, but I think the average earnings of authors, and bear in mind this is the average, so when we're including the big hitters, none of whom I'll name here because I don't want to pick on anyone in particular, but the average earnings are well below £10,000 a year. Is that fair? So this question of fairness has exercised my thinking of late. As an author, I know lots of other writers, many if not most of them published, dozens. And when I say I know them, I interact with them online, I might comment on their books, share, we might swap messages occasionally, I've participated in online promotions for other authors, that sort of thing. I mostly frequent Facebook, LinkedIn and Twitter, and that's how I shall continue to refer to it. So I plugged Pathfinder on these three platforms, and the results were very interesting in terms of engagement from the authors that I know. In Facebook, there was engagement from about five people. One was an author, and the other four were readers that I already interact with, one of whom, Sarah, is a sort of super fan stroke book stalker. On Twitter, there were two clicks and three engagements. And on LinkedIn, there were a handful of people. One person, Sue Patchett, who's an author herself, reposted, which was very kind of her. And obviously that's the kind of thing you're looking for, to get reader engagement, to reach other networks and a wider readership. Now, it would be very easy to whinge about it and say it's not fair, why aren't people helping me, blah, blah, blah. And I do go out of my way to help other authors, but that's my choice. I do it because I think that altruism is a better way to be. I do think that writers are a community, And I'm in a fortunate position, I would say, of being old enough and detached and grizzled enough to not rely too much on the input of the community, which is probably just as well. So thinking about this for podcasts, because I knew it was time we did one, I thought, okay, why don't writers, and this is possibly true for other creative artists, why don't they reciprocate? And here are my thoughts. They might be busy. As I've said, most of them will have at least one other job, and a lot of their free time will be spent trying to develop their own creative work and promote their own books and write books. They might not have seen a request, because in social media it's basically like shouting into a waterfall, which is a lovely image that I might copyright. They might feel it's inappropriate. So if you have friends who are, I don't know, children's authors, romantic novelists, whatever it is, and you're writing a spy thriller like what I did, it might not be suitable for their audience. It's possible someone might be jealous of your success. I say your, I don't mean mine, but that's a possibility as well. If you know lots of people whose books aren't published, who are perhaps just starting out in writing, other people just might not give a shit. And you know what? That's absolutely fine. They're entitled. You are not. They might not like or rate your books. And that's another thing. If someone asks you to share their book and you don't think much of their book, what do? You're in a double bind. You either promote something that you think isn't worth the time of day, or you disappoint the author by saying, no thanks, this really isn't my bag, or you just ignore it. And social media is about instant gratification, instant ignoring. I was recently watching Human Jungle on Talking Pictures TV, which I recommend. Herbert Lom plays a psychiatrist who very neatly looks at someone's presentation and solves their issues by looking at underlying psychological conditions in about an hour, allowing for adverts, which would be great if the NHS worked that way. Anyway, thinking about the unconscious drives and in relation to fairness, because I'm trying to make this themed, bear with me, I and a friend of mine came up with some questions, which are quite random. They suggested that I might like to answer them on the podcast, so here we go. How do you deal with unfairness? First question would be, what is unfair, and unfair in which context? Is it unfair that a lot of people can't get published? That a lot of people don't have the time to write? That a lot of people, even once they are published, don't reach a wider audience because perhaps there isn't the marketing budget within the publisher? So you have to ask yourself, what is fair and what is unfair? And I think a lot of it comes down to expectations. We start off as writers and we have this idea that we will write a book, it will be brilliant, and everyone will love it. And that's not always the case, and it's sometimes quite a meandering path. So how I deal with it is I step back and say, what are my expectations? Are they reasonable? What is driving them? And does it matter? Next question. What do you dislike about being a writer? One of the things I dislike in myself is that very neediness of writers to say, I've just written something, can people look at it? Can you give me feedback? How is it doing? And the relentless checking of KDP or royalties, all of that stuff, which isn't validation, but it is a kind of yardstick to see how we're doing as a commercial writer. And I think once you start to write commercially, your lens changes. What's your biggest weakness or limitation? Apart from not being able to say that sentence. I think my biggest weakness or limitation is the writing. I think I'm always looking to improve my abilities and extend my range. So you're constantly battling against all kinds of things like education, influences, genre, just your own abilities really. I've just had to shut a window because someone is hammering outside. I don't know if that's the forces of destiny or Thor, or just someone who really needs to stick a metal post in the ground. Maybe it's a lightning conductor. Next question. What does being authentic mean to you as a writer? Well, I write genre fiction mainly, which is spy thrillers and crime mysteries. And they have working class protagonists, and they behave in ways that the characters do. They have relationships, they have sex, they are occasionally violent to one another or to strangers, and that's the nature of the genre. And they swear, and some people don't like that, and tough shit, they're not the books for them. I think being authentic is also writing the stories that matter to you in a way that matters to you, and that means being true to the characters and to yourself in the dialogue, because you can spot a fake a mile off, I would say, on the page when someone is trying to write something that really isn't them. What mistakes do you make? As a writer, I'm actually keen on the idea of collaboration, and I've collaborated with one or two writers along the way in different projects, and it works really well for a while. But what tends to happen is one or both of you become uninvested because there's just life going on. I would say the worst example, and also the funniest, is I was quite honoured to be invited to join a writing blog with several writers already on board. And I was unpublished at the time, I think. So I joined the blog, and within 3 or 4 months, everyone else had buggered off. So I was the only person running the blog, not that I was writing a great deal. I tell a lie, someone did get back to me and ask if I could post a blog for them about their book, which I declined. Do you think writers have a responsibility to their readers? Absolutely. I think that's in terms of being consistent, partly giving them what they want, and being honest on the page. In Pathfinder, the most recent of the Thomas Bladen books, there is an implied level of violence hasn't been evident. I would say one particular scene and one particular element that hasn't been in the rest of the series, but it was appropriate to the storyline. And I think to do anything less than that would have been a kind of a cop-out. What's the worst thing to have happened to you as a writer? Don't know. Disappointment, maybe? I mean, there haven't been many terrible things. I've experienced rejections just as most other writers have. I don't think your books, unless you're very fortunate, ever sell as well as you hope they do, even when, as in my case, the publisher has worked mightily to promote them. I suppose the other worst thing is that you finish a book and it doesn't measure up to your idealised expectation of what the book could be or would be, especially if you get feedback from readers that really chime with that and tell you all the book's failings. And obviously it's too late then, you can only try and write a better book next time. What's been the biggest surprise about writing? I'd say the biggest surprise has been the psychological journey. When I first started writing novels commercially, it felt like it was more about the world of ideas, even though those ideas draw on personal experience or imagined experience. As I've gone on in writing two series and working on other writing projects, there's a script I'm working on at the moment, I've found that it draws on your own past, your own psychology, if you will, and that's been interesting and at times draining. I hadn't expected that. I've always seen myself as quite a detached writer. What's the next step for you? There are two next steps. I am working on a training script, which is the adaptation of a standalone novel, which I've mentioned before. The novel's called Scars and Stripes, and it's had many different incarnations, none of them entirely successful. And the script has taken a massive deviation, thankfully. So I'm aiming to get a complete draft finished by the end of the month, which of course, I don't know when you're listening to this, but I would say in 30 days. And thereafter, I'll be starting another crime mystery, which I'm looking forward to. I've got a strong sense of what the outlying plot looks like. If you can hear that, that's a plane in the background. So in conclusion, and I did say it would meander, fairness and unfairness. The bottom line is, it's not a meritocracy. The arts have never been a meritocracy, and I could go into a polemic about arts and culture and access and class, but at the end of the day, I don't think I'd be saying anything new. I think if you write, you're a writer. You have the opportunity to tell your stories in your way and promote them as best you can. Try and get an agent if you can. Try and get a publisher if you can. Self-publish if you can. And whatever happens after that, well, it's in the lap of the gods. Draw your own boundaries. If you want to help people, help them. If you want to help yourself, help yourself. But know when to say, actually, that's too much of an encroachment on my time. Don't compromise your values. I do know some writers, because we've talked about this, who work on a sort of quid pro quo, like for like. So they will support other people's campaigns with the expectation, and sometimes even a tacit agreement, that that person will help their campaigns. Nothing wrong with that. It grows the network and everyone understands where they are. Again, I think we're back to this thing about setting expectations. And above all, whatever happens, don't take it personally, because the chances are it isn't about you at all. Thanks for listening.